This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. I want to thank you guys for rocking with me. I got some information. Our Washington football team has officially returned former first round linebacker Reuben Foster, who's been activated from the physically unable to perform list, the PUP list as we call it. He was claimed on waivers after the 49ers cut him in 2018. He had torn an ACL in May of 2019. He's now evidently recovered and cleared and good to go for 2020, which is good news because last thing I heard about his recovery was him just regaining feeling in his foot when we found out that there was nerve damage, and Ian Rappaport just reported that in January. So obviously him along with Chase and Montez and all them guys we got back there could be a problem. It could absolutely be a problem. Now, I should mention that 49ers did cut him after multiple off-field incidents. And this team, obviously we've talked about Darius Geis today in the show as well, is said to be operating on a zero-tolerance policy as the franchise undergoes a culture change. So we'll have to monitor that situation closely. So I want to welcome Reuben Foster back into the fold. That being said, as I was looking up some more information about Reuben Foster's situation, I came across this tweet . The account is at Washington Football, and they have a photo of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes on either side of, it looks like a little billboard that says, "Hail to the Chiefs." Hail to the Chiefs. Really? That's what we're doing, Chiefs? Is that really what we're doing, Chiefs? I mean, Chiefs, look, I was rooting for y'all, okay? I feel like Tyra Banks right now. We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Look, I was rooting for y'all. I didn't want to see Kyle Shanahan win the Super Bowl. I didn't want to see Richard Sherman win the Super Bowl. Come on. I was rooting for y'all. But this how y'all going to do? This how y'all gonna do us now? Word? Y'all been a relevant franchise for like 45 minutes, dog. We know you got Patrick Mahomes. But the last time anybody else was scared of the Chiefs, Hank Stram was walking the sidelines. The only road bump of relevancy between Patrick Mahomes and Hank Stram is like Christian Okoye and maybe Priest Holmes. I don't even think the Priest Holmes teams even got there. Christian Okoye. If you are telling the story of the NFL, you leave the Chiefs at Hank Stram, you come back to mention the Nigerian Nightmare, and then you land at 2019. And this how y'all feeling yourselves? Will you go to the hell to the Chiefs? Word? I am disgusted. I'm disgusted. Why would you even want to take the slogan, the rejected slogan that we can no longer use because our name changed? Like, why would you even want to take that? Everybody knows what hell is from. Why would you even, why would you do that? You belittle yourselves. You just won the Super Bowl and you took the slogan of a 3-win team. Who does that? Disgusting. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. I don't know. I got my man Chris Taylor on Twitter. I appreciate you listening to the show. He said Taylor Swift against Katy Perry. You know, I was wondering who Taylor Swift. I was thinking Taylor Swift against Carrie Underwood, but perhaps is Carrie Underwood too country to go against Taylor Swift, or is that like, are they both like the perfect right amount of country and pop? I don't know. I gotta ask my old lady. She knows about stuff like that. She's from Ohio, and people from Ohio know about country. Speaking of Ohio, they had a show. We were watching a show last night. They had something that came on ESPN called the Ohio Grocery Baggers Bowl. Riveting stuff. Riveting stuff. They got whole rivalries and everything like that. It's crazy. Shout out to Versailles. Versailles, Ohio. Chris Taylor also says Vanilla Ice against Eminem. Come on, man. Vanilla Ice, I mean, come on. That's offensive to Eminem. Maybe Vanilla Ice against like Everlast Paul Wall got more hits than, I mean, I'm trying to think of who would be an appropriate opponent for Vanilla Ice. Who had one song that was that big, like, you know, MC Hammer had hits. Not like, I don't know. MC Hammer's on the outside looking in. Katy Perry, maybe Katy Perry could do like, well, she got more hits than Mandy Moore. You got me, Chris. I appreciate you for listening, though. I'm so disgusted with the Chiefs. Makes me feel guilty for rooting for them in the Super Bowl. Maybe I'm a bad person that I didn't want the 49ers to win just because I didn't want Kyle Shanahan to have joy. Does that make me a bad person? Does that make me a bad person that I didn't want Kyle Shanahan to have joy? I just feel like that makes me a regular person who is a fan of a team that used to employ Kyle Shanahan. Like, don't we all root against people when they leave? Are y'all the kind of people that root for exes to do good after y'all break up? I know we all say that, but we not really doing that, are we? Am I the last one to know? Like, are we really rooting for exes and ex-friends to do good? I don't know. I need y'all to weigh in on that. By the way, the first pitch in the Nats-Orioles game is at 12:35. Nats on Deck will be starting at 12:05 with Charlie Slows and Dave Yeagler. I'll be excited for that. I'll just be excited just to really push the Nats and knowing that I'm not taking no gruff off of Baltimore. That's really, I'm not taking no gruff off of Baltimore. The Chiefs are out of pocket. The hail to the Chiefs. And are we actually rooting for ex-friends to do good and exes to do good? That's what I need a conclusion. I need to land that plane at some point between now and noon when Nats on Deck starts. I also want to hear from you guys. Hit me up, 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. Thank you guys for rocking with me up until this point. Oh, we've had a lot to talk about. You guys feel free to weigh in on any and everything that I've talked about up to this point. We got my man Chris from Manassas. Well, first of all, let me say the number 800-626-1067. Now I'm going to go to my man Chris from Manassas. Chris, first of all, thank you for calling in. I always got to appreciate and big up the first call that we have, man. How you feeling this Sunday?
I'm doing great, man. I own a pop-up restaurant, and I'm headed to an event right now out in Noakesville, Virginia at Effingham Manor Winery. Place is called a taste of Puerto Rico, but hey,
so you guys fully opened up out there, huh?
Yeah, man, it's nice, spacious outdoor seating spot. You know what I mean? Like, and it's in the middle of nowhere, so you know what I mean. It's just like this. It's gorgeous. The wine is delicious. You know what I mean? It's a whole deal out there. But I was thinking what you were talking when you were talking about the battle for Vanilla Ice. And I came up with Gerardo, the Rico Suave guy. But there's a caveat to that. Because after he left and did that one thing with the Rico Suave, he actually became a record executive and actually did pretty well.
See, that's the thing. The versus rules are, it can be your song or a song that you wrote. So if he became an executive and was successful, I don't know if, but then again, maybe Vanilla Ice could put up some episodes of his show. Didn't he have a home improvement show that he was working on?
Yeah, he had the home improvement gig, but now Gerardo's a pastor. So you're going to go put a home improvement guy up against a pastor.
Well, you know, they're all trying to help you.
It's outworldly at that point. It's in somebody else's hands.
Hey, you know what? They're all trying to help you fix the upper room. They all trying to help you get to the upper room, you know.
And he went from Rico Suave to the upper room.
That's funny. Well, let me ask you this, Chris, because another thing we were weighing in on, I'm not the only one that was rooting against the 49ers because I didn't want Kyle Shanahan to win, right?
Right. Listen, let me tell you this.
We root against ex-friends and ex-girlfriends, right? Isn't that what we do? Well, quietly, we don't admit to it, but so I guess this kind of violates that. But generally,
if you look back on what is the turmoil that is the Redskins now, you have to have, some, you know, you take a second look. Was it him? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, of course, there's been turmoil around the Redskins the whole time, but who knew? Like, as a matter of fact, now they look like they parachuted out. They look pretty damn good for leaving. You know what I mean? Like, regardless, like, they actually look pretty good when it's all said and done.
I mean,
I
don't blame him at all for the issues. Like, I don't blame him for that. I don't blame Sean McVay for that. I don't blame any of them for our issues. I just don't want you to find success before we find success. That's all that's about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what, Patrick Mahomes, they had a defense, they had speed at receiver, and all Patrick Mahomes did, and you see Andy Reid is not afraid to take a quarterback and pluck him and put somebody else in right away, because he gave us Alex Smith like it was, like, you know, he was like, he just let him go, I mean, you know what I mean, without regard. So he already knew what he had. You know what I mean? And that was apparently the missing key.
Yeah, evidently we hadn't learned the Donovan McNabb secret to never take somebody's starter if they're openly offering them to you. You might want to be...
We are gluttons for punishment in Washington, whether we unwittingly or not.
I'm off on Hail to the Chief. That is as unacceptable as I'm reacting to it, correct?
Yes, that I saw. I saw the picture. I thought that that was a little over the top. I absolutely 100% agree.
Really? Like, why? You just won the Super Bowl, dog. Like, why are you going to take a team? We won four games. Like, why are you? Come on, man. Look, you know what?
You know what? In D.C., We call that a little Bamish. This, you know, that's a Bama move.
That is a Bama move, and that's also called hustling backwards. That's another thing that we call hustling backwards.
I appreciate you, Chris,
weighing in. What's your truck called?
It's a Taste of Puerto Rico. We're going to be at Effingham Manor Winery in Noakesville, Virginia.
You got to hit me up at Reese Waters, R-E-E-S-E-W-A-T-E-R-S, on all social media. Let me know when you're in the D.C., when you're in the D.C. area, man. I got to come get at you.
Absolutely, bro. You eat for free. Come by.
All right, Chris. Have a good one, man.
You too. Take care, brother.
All right. Yeah, I don't get what the Chiefs are doing, man. That's wild. That is really, really wild. Did you guys see this Deion Sanders tweet? This was also wild. So Deion Sanders tweeted, "All players opting out in all sports, please believe the game will go on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There is no one that's bigger than the game itself. Only the ref, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. Not you." Now I'm a little confused. So in essence, he just feels the need to remind players that are opting out either because there's a lot we don't know about this virus, or because there isn't a plan in place that makes them feel comfortable, or in most cases, because they have some sort of condition or live with somebody or married to somebody or fathered somebody who has some sort of condition that makes them predisposed to this virus, coupled with that lack of plan that's put forth. My understanding is that's why people are opting out. So he feels the need to remind all those players that the game will go on without them. The other weird thing is he says only the ref, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. I don't know, man. Who's y'all favorite ref? I don't know who's y'all favorite umpire. I don't even know if I can fill out a whole staff. Who's your favorite officials? How many people listening right now could fill out a whole staff of umpires, refs, or officials? I struggle with it, and I cover this. So what are you talking about? That sounds like a host on the NFL Network and not a former NFL all-time great. And he's both. But he's speaking right now as a host on the NFL Network. He's speaking right now as a mouthpiece for the league. Because only a mouthpiece for the league would feel the need to say something that flagrant and unnecessary. Completely unnecessary and uncalled for. That sounds like an owner having a rage attack. And of course, when they do that, they just pass their opinions through their mouthpieces, which NFL Network is one of their most useful ones. I appreciated and I retweeted Roy Wood Jr.'s quote tweet, his response to it. He said, "Weak-ass men choosing health and family over amusing strangers by catching a ball. So what, you play in a league without guaranteed contracts that'll cast you aside in a heartbeat? The game don't need you. We got other players ready to step up." Then he hit him with, "Can you believe..." All right, I got to paraphrase. "Can you believe these dudes, many of whom aren't on guaranteed contracts, are scared of a disease that we really don't know that much about? Back in my day, you had to be ready to catch AIDS on the field to win that trophy. Either you want it or you don't." And he goes, One time in Green Bay, I picked off Brett Favre. The ball had Ebola on it. I turned to Merton Hanks. I said, "You scared, Hanks?" He said, "Cough in my face." We both had Ebola the rest of the game. Won the game by 32. Roy Wood. And he keeps going. "I ain't scared of no COVID. One time in Dallas, me and Emmett had swine flu. Only missed three plays. We got cured at halftime, third quarter. I caught hantavirus on the first series. These new players just scared. I'm not about to let no virus that I don't know nothing about stop me." "The NFL is almost 70% black, and these black players are scared of a disease that's killing black people at a higher rate. Crazy. Couldn't be me." I'd had to do some paraphrasing there, but that was a tour de force by Roy Wood Jr. Very well done. Dion, don't press in. Don't press in. He's not at the Terry Crews level yet. He hasn't reached Terry Crews level. This one was bad. This one was bad. And you know, we probably need like a group to get together and look at these tweets, to look at these comments before people send them out and embarrass themselves. Talking about getting the economy off the ground, with all the people sitting at home not working, just sitting on social media, letting their thoughts, many of which don't need to be shared publicly, fly, getting fired for stuff. That's a way to jumpstart the economy. Just a group called Don't Press Send, like a group. A place that your comments can go that will prevent you from getting dragged in or fired from whatever ignorance you just tried to post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. That's easy. I would volunteer to be the first employee. I absolutely could do that. The rest of you guys, I want to hear from you. I appreciate you, Chris, for weighing in. Safe travels. 800-636-1067. I'll be right back. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. I told you guys to weigh in, and you did. I appreciate you guys for doing that. My man, Mike, from Springfield. What's going on, Mike? I appreciate you for weighing in. How's this Sunday treating you?
So far, so good. On my way to work, man. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm almost done. I guess that means,
awesome.
yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, it's a good feeling, I must say. So you had a good match for Vanilla Ice.
Oh yeah, I mean, if we're gonna do one hit wonders in like that genre, you got to get him against Snow, get Informer against Ice Ice Baby.
That's a good one. That is a really good one. That would be the quickest matchup in the history of
Oh,
verses.
yeah, no, Snow would wreck him, but it would still be fun to watch.
It'd be done in 8 minutes. Like they would both play their songs, and then I don't know, maybe Vanilla Ice might try and come and play that funky music, White Boy, and then everybody changed the channel.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't do having a Roni, I think we're all good.
That is crazy. Hey man, where do you come out on this Hail to the Chief situation? Am I right in denouncing this?
Oh, you are so right. Like, how's the Super Bowl winning team gonna, steal from a team that, made the playoffs once in the last, what, 15 years or something, and that was a fluke playoff year, get in? So, yeah, no. A team that hasn't won a playoff game in forever, and the Chiefs are going to try to take that from them. That's just a bad look on them.
We're like the star of the reality show. We like the NeNe Leakes of Real Housewives or Atlanta, or like the Stevie J of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. People just take shots at us just to stay relevant. That's all that is. We are the situation of the Jersey Shore. No matter how bad things are, people will bring us into it just to stay relevant. That's all.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm bringing Snooki into WWE. It's kind of like that.
There you go. Even if it's bad, they still gonna talk about us. I appreciate you, man.
All right, thanks a lot, Manny.
Make sure you catch Nats on Deck, by the way, which is coming on immediately after me, 12:05, with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Yes, I made him French because I like to give him some culture. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? I gave Dave some culture. Listen to Nats on Deck at 12:05 with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. And of course, the first pitch is at 12:35. And by the way, today's Caps game will be on 94.7 The Drive. That puck drops at noon. What's going on with college football social media? I don't understand. I was on Twitter on a break, and I see this tweet from Joel Klatt, who says, many in the college football media have worked hard to push panic and fear. Seeing many prominent players push back tonight, good for them. I'm confused by that. Because, as we all well know, college football players are not being compensated. Second, one of the things that has been asked for by the Pac-12 Players United, by the Big Ten Players United, has been some form of health care. And in the case of the Pac-12, eliminating the liability waivers. So he's encouraging them for pushing back against what he calls panic and fear, which I guess panic and fear would be just reporting the medical science, like reporting the deaths, like reporting the facts of the effects of the virus. Does that constitute pushing panic and fear? Just saying what happened? Does that constitute pushing panic and fear? Because we have the same conversation when it comes to CTE with a lot of people that, quite frankly, just have no regard for the players that play and their safety, where they will say, you're pushing panic and fear, or, quote, it's a war on football, by literally just reporting what happens. You're literally just reporting what happens constitutes pushing panic and fear. That's wild. And this is coming from a Fox Sports analyst. I mean, this man has 180,000 Twitter followers saying, good for them for pushing back on panic and fear. It's bizarre, man. I mean, that's wild that you can have such little regard for the safety and concern of people that make up such a large part of something that you say to care so much about. In any event, the Washington Wizards are winless in the bubble. I think it's about time that, and hopefully they've gotten some good experience. Hopefully they've gotten hopefully they've seen some things from some players that they wanted to see and got them to develop a little bit. It's time to call it a day. Just for the good of the rest of the teams that are in the bubble, that space can be used. I feel like Lou Williams had a good idea when it came to how that space could be used. Now, whereas the Phoenix Suns are undefeated in the bubble. That's how you handle your business. They deserve to be in the bubble. We're playing like we didn't want to go to the bubble. And we surely sent the team like we didn't want to go to the bubble. By the way, I did not read the entirety of the tweet from the hashtag We Are United, by the way. This is from the Pac-12. The Pac-12 sent out this letter, and they also, several of them also tweeted this letter as well. Showing unity and listing a number of demands in a letter to the conference. I read the first half of that letter. The second half of that letter goes, because immoral rules would punish us for receiving basic necessities or compensation for the use of our own name, image, and likeness, while many of us and our families are suffering economically from the COVID-19 fallout, hashtag We're United. Because we should be included in equitably sharing the revenue our talents generate, especially in a pandemic, hashtag We're United. Because unjust rules prevent the 98% of college football and basketball players who don't go pro from capitalizing economically from what would otherwise be the most valuable years of our lives, including many black players from low-income homes, hashtag We're United. I'm going to read that next one. I'm going to read that last one more time. Because unjust rules prevent the 98% of college football and basketball players who won't go pro from capitalizing economically from what would otherwise be the most valuable years of our lives, including many black players from low-income homes. Hashtag We're United. Because eliminating lavish salaries and facility expenditures to preserve all sports must be prioritized. Hashtag We're United. Because the NCAA has failed us, and we are prepared to ensure that our conference treats us fairly, whether or not it continues its NCAA membership. Hashtag We're United. And forming alliances with college athletes from other conferences to unite with us for change. Hashtag We're United. Hashtag We're United in our commitment to secure fair treatment for college athletes due to COVID-19 and other serious concerns. We will opt out of Pac-12 fall camp and game participation unless our demands are guaranteed in writing by our conference to protect and benefit both scholarship athletes and walk-ons. Hashtag We Are United. That's a lot. That is a lot. And they're really taking on a lot there. And it leads me to believe that we may have reached a point because of the pandemic, showing college athletes their worth. People have mentioned it before. People have alluded to it before. But because of the pandemic, showing them their worth, we may have reached a tipping point when it comes to how we do business economically with college sports. I'm going to close with that after the break, but of course I have one more segment I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. Reese Waters on the Fan. All right, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. You always find a way to get Mike Jones at the show. I tell you, I don't know whether he's paying you or whether y'all blood relation, but you will find a way to get Mike Jones in the show. I respect it.
Either Mike Jones or Paul Wall.
We're coming at you. We're here with you until noon, and then after us is Nats on Deck. And then the first pitch between Nats and Orioles will be at 12:35. Right now, I want to go to my man Steve from Alexandria, making it right now a clean sweep of Virginia. We got an all-Virginia call so far. I'm not mad at it. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, Reese? I just wanted to call and say I enjoy listening to you. And I'm a 65-year-old retired Army guy, and you really make my day when I hear you. I sometimes see you on Channel 9 in the morning, but I like you better on the radio. So how can I find out when you're actually going to be on 106.7 The Fan?
I appreciate, well, first of all, I appreciate all the good things you had to say. I enjoy being here on the radio too, because I can talk for longer than 90 seconds without having to toss the weather. So it's fun
to
lay my feelings out. I'm actually going to be the next several weeks, at least until September. I will be on Sundays from 9 a.m. to so you can definitely look for me in this spot, 9 a.m. till noon on Sundays until September, right here on 106.7 The Fan. And of course, if you follow me on social media, I don't know if you have Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, but I'm at Reese Waters on all my social medias, and I'll try and put that out as much as I can.
Well, I do, but I only go on Facebook, but you know, I don't go on Twitter and all that stuff like that, but I'll tune in since I know that you're going to be on for the next couple Sundays.
Please do, man. I appreciate that. Now, how you feeling? What's your level of happiness right now as a DC sports fan? Where are your emotions?
My emotions is good. I'm actually from Macon, Georgia. I've been here since 92, and I'm not totally sold on the sports here. I'm more of a Georgia fan, but it's all good, you know.
You ain't no Falcons fan, because I know you couldn't survive living here since 92 as a Falcons fan. That can't happen.
Yeah, I still like them, man. That's the home team.
Wow, I give you 28 reasons not to. 283, actually.
That's rough, you know that man. Thing with Deion Sanders that you quoted what Deion was saying? Deion just running off at the mouth because he's got that girl, babyface ex-wife, in his arms, and he just ain't got nothing to say to her, so he come out and say something crazy. You know, he ain't got no game. He done ran out of his rap.
Yeah. He got to make sure his pockets stay full. I didn't know Deion was with Babyface's ex-girl.
He's been with her for years, man. You know, he had a little TV show, and she would be on it all the time. I'm surprised they haven't got married yet. They've been together at least 5 or 6 years or more.
Well, you find out something new every day. Find out something new. Every, talk to an old head. You will find out something new every single day. Hey, Steve, I appreciate you for calling in, man.
All right. You take care of yourself.
All right. That is Steve from Alexandria. Now, in the meantime, as I was saying, right now in college football, it's an interesting time because student athletes in the Pac-12 published their wants in the Players Tribune under the hashtag We're United. The Big Ten has sent their list of concerns. The MAC has canceled all their fall sports. But specifically with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, laying out their concerns, improvement in health and safety protections, economic freedoms and equity protections for their fellow athletes that play less high-profile sports, and a serious commitment to the pursuit of racial justice. While this basically seemingly started due to the school's handling of athletes in relation to the coronavirus, I mean, this moment has been a long time coming, and it's been building. You've seen it bubble up. You saw it in Northwestern a couple years back where they tried to unionize. The understanding that college sports are big business, bringing in over $1 billion a year, and the lion's share of that comes from football, a share that the players see none of, even as they put their bodies on the lines every week to generate it. I know. They're getting a free education. No, they're actually not. They're paying for their education through sweat and pain equity, and should they get injured, that path to an education can and most likely will be taken away. We talk about not guaranteed scholarships. This whole idea of these are student athletes, where's the investment in their education when their scholarship can be ripped if they get hurt or can't play? Where's the investment? And I'll tell you this, macroeconomics was hard enough for me without having to get up at 5 a.m. for practice. So you can't say they're getting an education as if it's the same education I get when I stay up till 4 a.m. every day. And they have no legal recourse and no representation. And they're not allowed to have any. Now, there have been efforts to unionize players before. But why should this time be any different? Well, the virus has exposed not only how valuable they are, but how flimsy the veil of amateurism and the excuse of student-athlete was to avoid paying them in the first place. Because it's hard to tell me they're just like everybody else when everybody else is at home distance learning. This has exposed their value, and they now have a bargaining chip, and they have power. We've seen flashes of this power used by players before. Look up the president of University of Missouri's resignation. But like a lot of things happening right now, this time feels different because they put the system on notice. Power concedes nothing without demand. And they are demanding to be treated as partners rather than disposable pieces. And one thing I can say for sure, since they've been out of the classroom, they've gotten a really good education. They've been paying attention. I was watching First Take earlier this week. I was listening to Stephen A. talk about why it's so critical for college football to come back. And he said, if Alabama doesn't play, it's not just about the school. It's about the economy that surrounds the school. There's a $200 million It'll cost the economy of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, $200 million if Alabama doesn't play football. So let me get this straight. You're putting the onus and responsibility on the players who aren't being paid to continue to boost up that $200 million economy that you set up around unpaid labor and making it their responsibility? That's fascinating. That is really fascinating that you can set up an economy around a game that's played by, quote, amateurs and put the onus on them to have to play and not on yourself for setting up an economy around people that are not getting a piece of that pie and not ever expect them to want it. And if you have that kind of a racket going, right? Like, if you got that kind of a racket going where we got a $200 million economy set up around this game played by players that aren't being paid, you would at least think you would pacify them in other ways, right? Hey, man, if they get too mad, if they ask too many questions, if they get too disgruntled, they probably gonna ask for some of this money. So let's make sure we take care of them as well as we possibly can. Well, when it comes to the pandemic, you didn't. And that's how you ended up where you are today. You would think you would have avoided this at all costs. You would have gone to great lengths to make sure they felt comfortable. You didn't. And that's where we end up where we are today. Where we have people like Joel Klatt applauding players for pushing back against fear and panic, which is how he characterizes reporting the facts. And that's how you get to people saying that they need to play to help the economy of Tuscaloosa, which is built up around these dudes that don't have a piece of that economy. And once they move on, whether they go pro or not, you saw that number, 98% of players not going pro. Do they get a piece of that economy then? Does something sit in escrow for them? Is there something gaining interest? Where's their piece? Where are the players that played 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, didn't go pro? Where's their piece in that $200 million economy? That's my question. I don't know if we will get college football this year, but the bigger question is, I don't know if we'll get college football as it existed before. I don't know if we will get that college football again. And I enjoy it as much as anybody. In terms of my enjoyment to watch, I put college football right up at the top. I love watching it. But I don't love it more than knowing that these brothers are going to be taken care of. And that the powers that be are doing right by them. I don't love it more than that. All right. I'll be back next Sunday, at 9 a.m. right here, 9 a.m. to noon. Probably rock with my boy Sean as well. So make sure you listen to me then. You got Nats on Deck coming up next with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. The first pitch of Nats Orioles is at 12:35. Make sure you catch me tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on Get Up DC on WSA9. And make sure you catch me on my YouTube show, The Barbershop, streaming every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Sean, it's been a pleasure rocking with you, man. I appreciate you for holding me down. I'm Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.